think it's because I'm not used to looking down on people. And so I just like being down here with the crowd, to be honest with you. You know, the Bible is full of comparisons. And some of those comparisons and analogies within it are for us to learn from animals. If you could turn your Bibles to Proverbs, the 6th chapter right now, we're not going to be using a PowerPoint. After what I've seen happen to Joe on the last few Wednesday nights, we're not even going to attempt with that. So we're just going to have our Bibles out today. I encourage you to be following along. But in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the wise man Solomon here gives some advice. And he says in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, "To go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, when we rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." If you look over in Matthew, the 6th chapter as well, Jesus there, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, he tells the people, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow, but the Father provides for them." And he goes on to go into Matthew 6:31 and says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." A small little ant, probably one of the smallest creatures, I would say, one of the smallest insects. I mean, your foot takes up 100 of them when you're a kid. You're stomping on them and everything else. But here we learn from this little bitty creature how to be productive and not be lazy. This morning, I want to talk to you about geese. Now, I've never really thought about geese much in a spiritual sense, okay? I think I've got a big one hanging in my garage that got on a hunt, but that's about it. I know how to hunt them, I know how to shoot them and get them back and clean them and cook them. That's about my experience with geese until this last week. And I was reading an article from a man down in Florida. And he said there are some things you can learn from geese. Now, in my neighborhood where we live at, we've got two lakes around our house. And they are full of geese. They're a nuisance. They really are. All they do is eat and go to the bathroom. And they go on the sidewalk, the most convenient place for people to walk. And I really thought, what good are these things? They're not much. They don't serve a purpose, honestly. But there's something we can learn from them today. There's 5 things I want us to learn from these geese today. And really, when you think about it, they're common sense principles. And it's stuff that when we're going to be going through this, you're like, that makes sense. That's how it was this week. I said I've seen hundreds of geese flocks flying through the air in a V formation. But there's something to be said about that and their behaviors that us as a Christian family can take away today and grow stronger together. The first thing is, you know, geese, they fly in a, when you look in the sky and you hear those treacherous honking noises, and they're in a big V, right? There's a reason for that. There's a study shown when the geese fly in a V formation, there's an uplift they create under their wings to keep them in the air. And that lead bird, he basically makes a draft for the other ones to follow. Like in NASCAR, when guys get behind another car to kind of get around them so they can build up speed. So a study shows that geese can fly 70% further when they're flying in that V formation than they can when they're on their own. Well, there's something to be said about that. Turn over to Mark 6 with me. Mark 6, in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he realizes a principle here that people need to work together. In Mark, the 6th chapter, look at verse 7, Mark 6 and verse 7. "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on tunics." Now, flip over to Luke 10. He sends out the apostles here, but in Luke 10, he's going to send out 70 men. And look, he's going to have the same advice to them and the same principle here. Luke, the 10th chapter. Look, Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The Lord knows these people that he's going to send out to do this teaching and to cast out demons and perform these signs of his coming are going to embrace some hardships. There's going to be people who oppose them there. There's people who try to run them out of these cities. Satan is going to try and stop this from happening. He's going to try and stop Jesus from spreading his word. So he sends these people out two by two. There's a lesson from that. When there's another person with you, they can help hold you accountable, can they not? But those who work out often work out with a group of people or another individual. When someone starts to slack off or someone starts to drift away, they can encourage them to get back into it, right? They hold them accountable. Say, "Hey, boss, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know better than that." They encourage them to pick them up. They might have a little fear going into one of these cities that someone's going to be there to oppose them, to drive them out. That having someone beside you would give you encouragement. That would help make you stronger, want to go in there because you have somebody with you. You're not doing it by yourself, right? These geese are the same way. They fly together because they know they're stronger together. As Christians, we need to be sure we are working together. Loners within Christ's body just don't work. It doesn't work when we try and do it on our own. He sends these out people two by two, not only to have more confidence, to hold each other accountable, because simply, can two people accomplish more than one person? Absolutely. You ever try and do a job on your own, and you get into a pinch where you might not be able to reach something or to hold something up while you're trying to tighten a bolt here? It helps to have another hand around, doesn't it? Well, is the spreading of God's word not the same? How many of y'all have passed out gospel meeting flyers around here or sometime in your life? Do you ever do it by yourself? Most of the time, you got somebody with you, don't you? A year or two ago, we did it, and we partnered up and we went around. Well, there's something to be said about that. You ever been in a discussion with somebody, and they ask you a question about something and it kind of stumps you? Well, here's a piece of advice. Always go with someone who's smarter than you. You can point things their way. But on a serious note, that's true. Because someone who's spiritually strong, they can help with things like that. They're an encouragement. They can build you up when you're weaker. And the same for you. Turn over to Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. Joe has probably talked about this in his class one night or the other, but in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, Solomon talks about why two people is much more beneficial than one. Look here, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's spiritual, guys. That's what it's talking about here. When we're together spiritually, it's much harder to separate two people, is it not? Christian marriages. How about that? When two people are striving to get to God and to reach heaven together, is that usually result in a strong marriage? Absolutely, when God's first. Now, Jesus sends these people out two by two because they can help each other. Two is better than one. We can all agree to that, right? Except when it comes to pounds. But listen, point number two. You know, when geese are flying that formation and one falls out of the formation, it becomes harder for him to fly. I mean, that's just a simple fact of it. With gravity and the wind and the force of the air coming at him, it's harder for him to fly when he is by himself. And when we've seen this when we're out in the field and we're hunting these birds, when one drifts off from the pack and they're starting to fly away, it doesn't just fall back immediately. All right, it's not just a 1-2 second thing, and the one bird's 100 yards behind the flock. but it is a slow drift. The same with people within the church. When people leave the flock and they're not working with others around them, it is a slow drift. At first, they're still kind of there. They're in sight. They're still kind of with the pack, but they're not completely in it. But as time goes on and we're going down the road, we look back and they're a little further behind. Have you ever been that one bird that's been out there behind? I've been there a time or two where I've drifted, not working with the flock. And as time goes on, unless that bird does something to put some energy forth and put effort out to get into the back end of the pack, it is not going to ever get back with the flock. Okay? Unless it is going to try harder than it ever has. Because it is going to continue to drift while the other flock moves forward, it's going to slowly move back. Why? Because it's not working with the flock, with the family. Christians, we have to work with each other if we want to move forward. You know, the geese, they have a great migration every fall and winter. They start, the geese you see around here, they're called Canadian geese. They started in Canada, all right? Well, as time went on and winters got colder up there, they started to migrate down. They fly south every winter. That's just the nature of the beast. And there are several flyways. They're like highways, all right, that these geese follow. There's an eastern highway, a midwestern, and a western highway, and a mountain highway. It's like your time zones. And they fly, and there's thousands of them that go down these highways every year. Well, you know what the easiest birds to call into a decoy set are? The ones that are by themselves, because they are searching for something. They're searching with a flock to get back into. They've been alone. They've been fighting on their own. They need a family again. And so when you see a solo bird flying, you got all your decoys out there, it's almost a guarantee. Well, here's the thing with our spiritual self. Satan is that hunter. And when he sees someone by themselves fighting a fight on their own with a group of people and not being supported by others, you know what he does? He calls them right in. You know what? What's going through that bird's mind when it's coming into that decoy set? Oh, man, it's safe here. I've got a place to land finally. I can be with another group. And then the hunters say, shoot, and everything, it goes haywire then. But that's what happens with Christians. They get lost, and they're out by themselves, and they're searching for something. And they finally see this thing that Satan makes you feel as appetizing and feel safe and warm. And they fall into it and they say, oh, I'm finally here. I've made it back. But it's a trap. Turn over to Hebrews 3rd chapter with me. Listen, strong Christians have to stay together. Christians have to work together as a family. Because the Lord has designed it to be that way. He knows what works and what doesn't work. And that's why He set up the church in the order that He did. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Look at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. You know those geese, when they leave Canada, all right? When they leave Canada, they are trying to get usually into the southern states, even down to Mexico sometimes. They have a goal in mind, do they not? They want to get somewhere. As Christians, are we longing to get somewhere? Are we trying to get somewhere? Well, hopefully. Hopefully we got a goal in mind. Hopefully we're taking checkpoints along the way and we're making sure and we're reflecting that we're still on the right path. And we've not wandered off somewhere. Biologists have this way of following where geese go, all right? And said most of them originate in Canada. A couple years ago, I killed this bird, all right? And it had a band around its ankle. And that's the way, there's a phone number on it. And if anybody gets this bird or finds this bird, you call this phone number, all right? And this was 2000. I want to say 14 or 15 in Bargetown. And I called the number. And I talked to some Canadian lady. You could tell when you talk to a Canadian. Nothing against Canadians. Well, really, they're our inferior neighbor. But she said, I told her the number that was on the bird, and she said, this bird was tagged in Fort Albany, Canada in 2012. That bird's life started in another country, and it flowed hundreds and hundreds of miles. Well, it didn't reach its destination, did it? It fell into a trap. Satan has traps laid all along our life to get us to fall into. And guess what? It was one of those single birds. One that was susceptible to danger. They're the most vulnerable because they are searching for something. If you don't get anything else out of today, if you're on the outside looking into the congregation, get involved with the people here. Get involved, get a part of somebody, get attached some way or another. Because we need each other's support along the way. A Christian life isn't designed to do it on your own. It just isn't. It's not made that way. There's too many traps, there's too many trials along the way that Satan puts in front of us. We can't do it on our own. We've got to lean on each other. We've got to use each other as a support system. Because if we don't, we will fall into that trap. And if the trap is set right, we'll never get out of it. So, here's the next thing. They share the burden with each other. You know, when the bird that's in front of that V, it gets the most windage coming at it, the most force. They rotate, though. Once it one in the front flies for a while, it'll go to the back. And one will shift up and try and take the load for a while. Well, what's that mean for you and I? Well, here's the thing. We can't let burnout happen. You ever been burned out on something? I got burned out on baseball when I was a kid. I had two, my grandma's dad played for the Detroit Tigers. My grandpa's uncle played for the Boston Red Sox. My grandpa played in college. My dad should have gone and played college ball. And you know what they were trying to get me to do? Baseball, 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 baseball. I was good at it. I liked it. But eventually, you know what happened? Austin wanted to do something else. So, quit. Should I ever quit? Probably not. It was the best sport I was good at. But burnout happens with spiritual people too. And it can happen within the church if we're not careful. You ever been burned out before? I've been burned out. You ever done a job a whole lot and seems like no one else wants to step up and do anything? I've been there. The church where I was preaching at, people were good there. I'm not bad-mouthing them or anything like that this morning. Good, godly people. But a lot of the time, you know where it fell back on when something had to get done? Me. Now, that was a part of the job, but there were some things that weren't part of the job. I got burned out for a little while. When you're doing everything and there's nobody behind you and say, hey, take a minute. Days like this are good for Justin, all right? Because being there in that situation before, a preacher needs a week or two here and there. Because it is mentally and physically exhausting at times. It is. And the elders here do a good job making sure that he does get that. Because it can wear you out. Satan's pushing on you. He's pushing on you hard. And that's a tactic he uses. Because, hey, I remember when I was a kid, my dad would come home. And I'd say, Dad, let's go outside and play. Let's go play ball, do something, this and that. And he said, son, I'm tired. He'd do it, but he was tired every day. I went to work with him one summer. And I got home and he said, now you see why I don't want to go outside and play ball at night? He's tired. You're burnt out. Can you get tired when you're a Christian? Absolutely. But that's why we got to use each other here. To lift each other up. To go out two by two. To take turns doing things. Filling in. Guys, if you have a responsibility, do it. If you've been blessed with a gift, use it. Because some people might be getting burnt out on things, doing it all the time. We're not a small congregation, but we're not a huge congregation as well. I think burnout can happen within a medium-sized group. That's just how we're wired. Humans, we get tired of things. We get exhausted. We've got to make sure we're filling in and out. We're taking turns, taking the duties. Well, what else? I think there's something else we can learn about these these nasty animals that like to poop everywhere on my sidewalk. Is that they encourage each other. That honking, that annoying sound you hear, that's a language to them. And those honks are encouraging. When they're flying in the V and they're working together, that honk, those geese that are honking and making all that noise, that's telling the leader, keep the pace up. You're doing a good job. That's what that is. Keep doing what you're doing. That's good to know. Why? Because as Christians, we need to make sure we're using our tongues for good, encouraging each other, especially encouraging our leaders. Turn over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter with me. Ephesians 4. We're going to make a couple points out of here. Look, just like we were talking a minute ago, and I want to go back just for a second, talking about how we need to make sure we're rotating in and out, doing things. Why? Because the Lord talks through Paul about this. In Ephesians 4, it's probably my favorite chapter within the whole Bible. It says this here. Let's start in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's the work of the church there. The spreading of the gospel. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we're just talking about there. So that the church can be built up, so burnout doesn't happen. That when someone gets tired, another person can fill in and help them out. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. Guys, this is helping us get to Christ to become that perfect man. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Guys, that joined and knit together, does that sound like something that's put and is one together as one? That sounds like something that's bound together. There's not stragglers here and there, but it is a family that is compact and is together, joined and knit. It's sewn together. We need to be sewn together for the love of Christ, sewn together by His grace. Why? So that the growth of the body can occur. That's what it's all about. We're a flock. We're trying to reach a destination. And as we go on our journey, we have to grow stronger. Because the winds are going to increase, traps will be along the way, and we've got to look out for them. But we do that by everybody doing their part. But getting back to encouraging each other and encouraging our leaders, look in verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Look at this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now this is talking about saving souls here. Speaking to others. But you know what? I think there's many analogies we can take from this. That we need to talk to others in a good tone. We need to encourage each other. Our leaders face a lot of things here in this church. Ralph, David, and Joe have aged 20 years in the last 10 months. I'm kidding, guys. That's supposed to be funny. I thought about that one all week. Leaders, y'all go through a lot, don't you? Things that keep you up at night at times. Wives, you have to be supportive, don't you? Elders, wives. Y'all got to go through it too, don't you? But why do y'all go through it? Go back to verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. That's why you're in it, aren't you? To help people get to heaven. Guys, we're on a journey together. And unfortunately, and this is the reality of it, we're going to lose some along the way. That's the devil is going to get his share. Let's just be honest here. We're going to try and get as many to go along with us as we can. The shepherds are going to flock us in and get us in there together to go. But there's going to be some people who just don't want to get along with it. They don't want to join the flock. I don't understand why sometimes. Because of the devil. You go over to 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says the devil's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, who's he devouring? Think about a lion. They pick out the weakest, the one that's by itself, and it's unprotected, right? That's what the devil does. Leaders got to watch out for those that aren't wanting to get in the flock and get in the pack. Try and pull them in. Do whatever to encourage them. Guys, we've got to buy in together. Because if we don't buy in, it causes disunity. And when there isn't unity in a church, that church splits. That church goes into factions. And no sooner down the line, the building's up for sale. Can't let that happen here. Lastly, this morning, and probably the most important part of it, simply, when one another falls in a flock, another goose drops out of the flock to take care of it. You ever fallen? You ever been somewhere you didn't plan on being spiritually? We do. We're humans. Romans 3:23 tells all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the simple fact of it. Well, and this congregation does a good job at it. When somebody goes forward, there's 20, 30 people in line to get there to pick them back up, right? When somebody's down, we have group meetings every Sunday night. We get cards in the mail, right? We're good at that. A lot of you do that individually, and you're to be commended for that. Writing your own cards, making phone calls, checking up. I don't know how many text messages I've gotten from people when Gunner was sick or in the hospital, people who gave us monetary gifts, people who are just simply praying for us. We do a good job of that here. And that's something to be proud of, guys. Now, it's something, we don't just don't hang our hat on it and leave it there. We keep doing it, don't we? We can't stop. Got to keep going, helping each other. Why? Because life, our souls are too important. We've got to be there to encourage each other. I can't help but think back in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, when Solomon says, if two are better than one, if one man falls by himself and there's no one to pick him up, how does he get up? When the devil gets you down, does he take his foot off your throat? Does he stop? No, he doesn't. All right? He shoots to kill. He really does. And when he gets you down, he's going to keep you down. Why? Because he's got you beat at that time. You ever seen the Rocky movies? Rocky Balboa? He had a quote from that, one of the quotes from that, one of the latest ones they made was, he says, in life, you're going to fall down. He says, you're going to get knocked down. But that's not what's important. He says, what's important is how many times you're going to get back up and you're going to get on your feet and keep fighting. Because guess what? You're going to get knocked down this week. You're going to get knocked down maybe more than once by Satan. What are you going to do? Are you going to get back up and fight and say, not today, I'm going to keep trying. You beat me once, but you haven't won the war. Or are you going to stay there? Well, as Christians and as a family, it's our job to help pick each other back up, to get each other back up on their feet. What are we doing? We're going to help each other. For a closing passage, let's turn over to Galatians, the 6th chapter real quick. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know your spiritual condition. You know where you stand this morning with God. If you're a strong person, if you're a strong Christian, help others up. And guess what? Even if you aren't a strong Christian, you can still help others up. You can still encourage somebody. It doesn't take much to give somebody a pat on the back. It doesn't take much to sincerely ask someone how they're doing. Guys, there's more to edifying than just talking to people. You can just write them a card. You can give them a phone call. Invite them to dinner. There's more to it than those things. You can do so much to just help somebody be encouraged. There's some people who are just natural encouragers. They've never met a stranger. You can talk to them, and they make you feel good every time you talk to them. And there are some people, man, They just bring you down. I work with a guy, and he ain't listening to this, so I'm not worried about it. It's so negative. It's negative every time. It's the kids this, the kids don't do that, yada, yada, yada. It's like, dude, you're bringing everybody down. You're worried about being negative. It's everybody's attitudes. It's because of you. So when you talk to him, you don't talk. You just keep going. Because a five-minute conversation turns into 45 minutes, and it's complaining, complaining, complaining. As Christians, we can't do that. If we are negative on this, we will say, well, we're never going to reach that goal. You'll never guess what happened to me this week. It don't work that way, guys. God doesn't want that. And we can't help each other with that attitude. So, where are you this morning? Are you back in the second point? Are you the one on that's out of the flock and you're trying to get back in and you're fighting to get back in? Well, God has put a plan in place to get back in. His Son coming to this earth, dying on a cross for us so we can have forgiveness of sins. Maybe it's sin that's keeping you out. It's choices that you're making on a daily basis. It's somebody you're with. Well, get rid of that. Change it. Pray to God for strength. Help. Ask the people here to pray for you to have encouragement with that. Get in the flock, guys. Because it's like I said, it's not something that happens immediate, but it's a slow, slow drift. And if you don't take care of it now while you're still close, it may just be too late one day. Listen, if you've never been in the flock and you want to be a part of God's family, you can do so today. You can put Christ on in baptism. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, pray that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.